BSD Talk, der Podcast von Building Smart Deutschland.
Welcome everyone. So today I'm sitting down ahead of the MOLIO conference in Middelfart, Denmark, together with Sten Sunesen, Managing Director of the Norwegian Building Smart chapter. Tomorrow we're going to sit down in the panel and discuss, the value of Open BIM. But today we're sitting down and having a beer and having a podcast recording. And today we wanted to talk about a few important matters. But before we do that, Sten, first of all, well, I already said Managing Director of the Norwegian chapter. First of all, can you tell me maybe what are you doing there and maybe also give a bit of an overview about the Norwegian chapter?
The Norwegian chapter is a non-for-profit, as of course Building Smart is a membership organization, a Norwegian organization. And I am full-time employed. I have one colleague, so we are two. Our management office is two persons.
Okay.
And then we have, of course, a lot of wide range of experts, domain leaders and domain active people in the domains, work group experts, work group leaders. We have seven domains, three work groups, producing guidelines and requirements for a specific part of the industry. We have kind of three core responsibilities. One thing is to be the voice for Open BIM, just like any other chapters in the country. And then, of course, organize all the active members, the industry, in domains and work groups and such. And then we also want to help to provide guidance to the industry, especially to also try to lift the small and medium-sized enterprises. In Norway, we have been using BIM for a long time. So many of the larger companies, they're quite mature digitally wise and using BIM. But there is a widening chest that we see that many of the smaller companies are falling behind. So that is actually an increased focus that we have the last years. So we can use the whole podcast talking about what we're doing. So that's probably not what we're going to spend our time here with. Myself, I'm originally by education, also by profession an architect. But for the last 15 years, I have worked dedicatedly with digitalization of the industry. A lot of focus on the Norwegian industry, but of course, also international work through standardization and working Building Smart International.
Yeah, thank you so much for the introduction. Now let's dive into today's topic. It's just maybe a couple of months ago that the Federal Ministry of Transport in Germany contacted me, has been asking, yeah, you guys at Building Smart, you have been starting a new initiative. It's called the European Open BIM Forum. Well, I'm aware of what that is, but I guess not all of our listeners are. So maybe that would help to get a bit of context. What the hell is the European Open BIM Forum and why is that is an initiative within Building Smart needed? So yeah. Can you enlighten us
a bit? Yeah, I can explain about it because I've been following it. It was an idea from Building Smart Italy to form a group of the European chapters in order for us to organize and work together with the EU Commission because digitalization is very important for the European industry and therefore also for EU. And we simply want to position us and work together with the both Commission and EU in general. And we needed to have a group that could focus on that, and that of course should be the European chapter. So we are kind of formally a grouping. We have signed a manifesto saying that we want to work together. It's not really a committing work yet. It is under the umbrella of Building Smart International, of course, and we are completely with the code of conduct of Building Smart International as well. But as a group, it's not more committing than the projects that are proposed, and that each country then can volunteer to commit to.
Well, interesting that we now have this European initiative, because it pretty much makes sense, of course, to have that as a specific entity to get in touch with the European level, right? Because having all of these chapters together, and I guess it's no surprise that we have a focus there specifically on European countries when it's about the Building Smart chapter coverage and so on. So having a strong voice there makes a lot of sense. So the reason why this federal ministry has been reaching out was not only the European Open BIM Forum, but specifically because of an initiative that was started by this forum as one of the first things that have been focusing on. And that is also a good thing that we meet here, because you're one of the key drivers behind this initiative, which is called Open BIM Harmony. So can you also enlighten me a bit on what Open BIM Harmony is, and maybe also why a federal ministry could be interested in that initiative?
Absolutely. I really like to talk about it. I've been a project manager and also proposed that project. It was proposed at the same time as the, almost at the same time as the Open BIM, European Open BIM Forum was established. I would like to just go a little back, because before I started working in BuildingSmart, I worked for the Norwegian government's client owner and operator organization, a public organization in Norway. And as a BIM lead there, we saw that even though that this organization had done a lot of great work, also before, long before I came in, a lot of great colleagues, really knowledgeable people, many of the projects still struggled with poor information quality. Mm. And we asked ourselves, how could that be? And we asked the industry, also had meetings with the industry, and some of the key findings there were that for those clients or appointing party who did have specific requirements, have been maybe a little too creative and not just asking for the information that you really need based on specific use cases. And also that every client had their own way of structuring things. Also that there were a lot of standards to apply to. So it's good to have a lot of standards, because it means that, that things are getting more regulated, but it actually it's also a challenge for the industry to be, each person have to be actually has to be expert of standards. So what we wanted here to do, and it actually started as a Norwegian, but then grew to a Nordic project, to actually to harmonize, is not actually to invent something new, but take the, what already existed, and of course with the backbone of ISO 9650, because it was a lot about how you organize and agree on the information, both requirement information production. Of course, we added other standards as well, BIM practices, and we actually ended up with also promoting specific requirements now for buildings, but we are considering a work group also for roads, but that's maybe a bit further down there. I can tell a bit more about that. So, but this was just mentioned as a project, that something that we were already working with on a Nordic level at the establishment of the European Open BIM Forum, and actually more countries, they said that they wanted to join. So we actually had a work group together with, of course, BuildingSmart Norway, but also BuildingSmart Denmark, BuildingSmart Benelux, which is the chapter of Belgium, Netherlands, and Luxembourg, and BuildingSmart Portugal, which is actually the work group behind the first version. And now we can see that actually more countries are joining, also BuildingSmart Germany, that I'm very happy to see as also the first big country that is joining, and together with UK, Ireland as well. So we see that it's it has the potential. It's still very young. The first version were published March this year. And it still has to be, it's actually meant to be adopted and adapted on national level. So it's not really off-the-shelf product. It's more like a toolbox framework that you as a chapter can use and make it your own, because you of course many countries will have to translate it to their own language. Now it's in English, and if you have specific national requirements, national regulations, national classification tables for identification and so on, it would be wise to put it in there as well to for referencing, because it's actually what we built here is as I said, we try to really not invent anything new. But try to build things together in a modular and also stepwise guidance that take you in the hand and say, if you have this role, if, for example, as an appointing party or a lead appointed party, and so say, now you have this task, you actually are going to agree on a deliverable. What are the appointing party tasks, and what are the appointed lead appointed party tasks? And so what should each do? So you don't actually have to read everything. It's more like you get guidance and say, okay, but this is what you have to do, and give them guidance. Try to use as much plain language as possible. That is something that is a challenge often in standards. Standards have to be very general and generic. So the language is often quite technical and academic. And we try to to be much more on a practical level, get hands dirty. And I think that most people will actually recognize that this is something they understand. Mm. It is a bit of a mouthful still, the ISO 9650 methodology. Mm. Can be quite intimidating for some. So to have this kind of guidance, I think, is very necessary. And I think that the documents that we have published now does not stand by itself. It also requires probably training and so on, but those things are probably a bit further down the road. Now we just had to, because everything here is developed under the European Open BIM Forum, which is, yes, it is a group within the BillingSmart International, but it's done without the management office help in BillingSmart International. So we, everything here is actually on voluntary basis. So it's but it's a good first version.
Well, I'm like, I still think, right? Well, first of all, getting all of the work done, what you have been doing, because I remember that you have been reaching out to all of the chapters and have been collecting all of the different kind of evidence, all the guidelines, the current standards, right, as you have been describing it. Getting all of that together, first of all, which is already an organizational effort, but then also cook it down to the essence and then creating that framework, it's already remarkable. But just maybe just a daring thought before we jump into the contents there, is that maybe also the part of the natural development, how standardization also anyway works. So first of all, that you have a rich diversity of different standardization efforts, because it's a very natural thing that different nationalities think that, oh, we have to do it in a very specific, delicate way and so on. We have to tweak it a bit and get it in our direction. But in the end, we still see consolidation, right? Meaning like that in the end, they see that, okay, maybe that wasn't even necessary and we don't need too many standards and now we have to get it back again and consolidate that. And maybe is this the very natural process that you are simply provoking and taking just serious?
We have tried to build this as with many of the principles that you have in standardization, to have openness. Everybody who volunteered for working with it were welcome. It was primarily the work group of four chapters that the heavy lifting of the first version. Mm. But we had a quite substantial round with hearing, where a lot of other countries contributed substantially. So it was very good. We were very grateful for that because it really improved the quality of what we have been doing. But it is not a standard because we are actually using standards, existing standards. So talking about heavy lifting, all the heavy lifting was actually done by others, by ISO and by SEN and by other. We also looked into national standards if they had anything to valuable to provide. And then it's of course the dynamics in the work group that we built things together. And I think that one point we want to make it as simple as possible. Mm-hmm. And simple as possible, one thing is of course how you communicate, but it also means how much do you include. Hmm. And on the other hand, we wanted to lower the risk of conflicts between typically appointing party and the appointed party. Conflicts later in the process, an error has been made. Who's responsible? Who's going to pay for the consequences? The deliverer is not according to the requirement. What is the leverage of the appointing party? So on. The fewer things you regulate, the higher the risk is for conflict. Yeah. So we have to find that sweet spot between what is the absolute minimum of things to include in order to be safe, and how much can we cut in order for it to be simple enough so it actually can be taught without being too intimidating and just too much. Mm-hmm. And I think that what we hear from it's actually from different parts of the industry, typically appointing parties think that we have find the right level of regulation, while many lead appointed parties, they're a bit uncomfortable with this and still think that it's a lot.
Yeah.
So I think we this is the first version. I think we need to listen more and see how it's adopted. And just the process that we are entering now, where we take this more generic version, and try to now implement it in on chapter level.
Yeah.
I think that will provide a lot of feedback from all the chapters. Yeah. It's already implemented in the first version and published in Norway.
Mm-hmm.
So, but now we see other countries are following. I think there are 8 or 9 countries that are more or less committed to adoption. I don't know quite on what level and what time frame they have for this implementation, but they are starting to look into this, and I think that's very positive. And I look very much forward to all this information that will provide us, and that will be the basis of the next version that probably is closer to that sweet spot we're talking about, simplicity and minimum regulation.
Yeah, so incrementally improving and then baby steps toward this sweet spot that you are describing.
Exactly. That's also pretty much how you develop softwares these days, that you have a minimal viable product and get it out and see how it's actually being implemented and used before you do anything more.
Closely listening to those that are using it and trying to apply it on the market and see like where it does work and where it does not work and so on. And then based on the feedback, actually taking the right steps.
That is actually the most important part.
Yeah, maybe already as a disclaimer, because you have been already mentioning that the German chapter also got not only aware, but also engaged. So we're also working on the translation. Let's not talk about the timeline here. No promises, but most likely we're going to have that also ready quite soon, because it makes a lot more sense right now to have that here as one of the first outcomes of this initiative. Before we jump into the actual contents, we don't have to go into any detail, but of course I would be quite interested into the structure. So what is actually part of that framework? First question, which is really important for everybody. Where do I find that framework? Is it for free? Can I just download it? And where do I find it?
Yeah, the European Open BIM Forum has its own webpage, and it has a menu, which I actually don't remember now what is its name.
Okay.
If it's a products or production or whatever documentation. Yeah. And the only thing there is Open BIM Harmony as the only choice at the moment, because it's actually the only finalized project under that framework or grouping as of now. And there you can download a zip file. It contains the documents.
Mm-hmm.
And you should be good to go, actually, because it is self-explanatory. I will advise you, if you are a chapter and you want to implement it, that you contact at least one of us in the work group.
Mm.
And we are very happy to help you and at least provide you with as much background for the existing solution as possible.
Perfect. So, but now given that we have a client, pointed party, it doesn't really matter because it should be something for both sides. So, given that I am now super interested and excited about it and I want to get my hands dirty on Open BIM Harmony, so what are your recommendations for the first steps? What should I do now with the framework? I have downloaded the zip file. What are the next steps?
If you're a client or contractor and you need to produce a building, so you need to procure some services, information services, architect, engineers, and maybe some other consultants. And what we have done here is, we have actually some guidance material, but there are two documents that are important. It's directly in the same names as in the ISO 9650, it's the exchange information requirement that specifies the information that has to be delivered. And then on the other part, and that is for the lead appointed party, is to produce a BIM execution plan that does not contain any requirements, but explain the delivery team's approach on how to deliver on the requirements. Mm. So there is a duality between those two documents. One that is the specification of the information requirement, which is owned by the appointing party. And then you have BIM execution plan, which is owned by the lead appointed party. So, and that duality is important. And we also explain, at least recommend, how the tendering process should be, as explained in the ISO 9650, because that part is also a bit new, that you have to provide this information requirement as part of the tendering document, as part of the contract. It has to be referred to in the contract.
Yeah.
If it's not part of the contract, you have absolutely no leverage later in the project, and the delivery team do not deliver according to the requirement. If it's not a part of the agreement, they can actually do whatever they want.
Where should it
and,
come from?
And this is something we see in so many projects, and it's a huge problem. As a lead appointed party, you should deliver a pre-agreement BIM execution plan, specifying your approach and also your goals for your deliveries. When we've done this, we're done. That is a very good way to express your understanding of the task and, of course, also your contribution to the common data environment as well, which, of course, is something that the appointing party is responsible to set up, but that the lead appointed party, of course, they contribute with their own software as well, and you have to see everything as a whole. So those are actually very basic what we are trying to regulate here. And what we've done, especially for building now, is that we have made the exchange information requirement is pretty much pre-filled out. We have specified a number of use cases, what you're using the information for, the information model for. That will cover a vast majority of small and medium-sized building projects that are not too complex and do not have specific needs, special technical needs or needs for very special information or use cases. So I would say 95% of all SME projects will that actually cover. So only thing you have to do is make sure that it is referred to in your contract and you put your project name on the front of the paper. And then you send out the template for the BIM execution plan together with the tendering document and instruct the lead appointed party that if they want the job, they have to deliver their application and their approach, describe their approach as part of the offer.
Yes.
So that can be evaluated. And just having a standardized formula for describing your approach make it much easier for the appointing party to evaluate the offers, at least on that part. Otherwise, you very often see long documentations that are more generic about their general competence on BIM, but not actually
specific
how they actually are going to live in this project.
Yeah.
So that is actually what we've done. So we really took a lot of the work out of here, and especially that part of the work that typically a project manager or a design team manager is not that competent about is about all the technical detail. Yeah. And we try to provide that stuff. There is in the BIM execution plan, the a design team manager or those who are making the offers will probably have to ally themselves with a BIM expert in their company or external resource to maybe make sure that their offer actually can include these deliverables, but otherwise we think that we have done all we can in advance and actually done the heavy lifting for them.
Yeah, sounds really amazing because I'm like getting exactly that kind of thing, self-explanatory and almost out of the box, right? So that all of the SMEs specifically that have been struggling with all of these mechanisms that are so important, right? To not underestimate it, how important that is, and well, make it easy, accessible, adoptable, and so on. So now, well, let's take a look into the future, right? Because now we're going to see an uptake, we're going to see an adoption, and you're going to get some feedback, and we're going to improve the Harmony package and so on. So, but the question is, where does that go in future? We're going to have a perfect setup, Open BIM Harmony framework. But what can we do with it? So what are the things on the roadmap still?
We knew from the beginning that this is not done by just making the first version and publish that, and everybody is happy because this is actually where the work starts. It's not a draft. It is the first version. We stand behind it, and we think it can be used. As said, now it has to be implemented on chapter level, and on the chapter level, it then has to be used in projects. One of the things that we have to discuss is also what is the business model, because just handing out things free is not really a good business model if you also need some income. All chapters do
to make
that.
It better. Yeah.
So
sure.
What we are looking into is that the parts that we have published right now that is centered about this process, about the tendering and agreeing on how you organize the information production, that part will probably still be free. But we see a potential to add a lot in kind of a toolbox where also advice to the project execution, how you digitize existing construction, how you integrate information models in your FM system. So, and many other things that can be giving guidance to and specifications to, procurement guidance and so on. And I think that that is one part to actually give a toolbox. And that part could be behind a membership wall for each chapter. And this is something we can do together as a chapter-to-chapter collaboration that will, the parts that is very much based on ISO 9650, make that open. We have, it's actually the brainchild of ISO, so we should not make any money of that. So, but what we should make money on is all the guidance and additional material that actually help the projects and the companies to use this and make money on this.
So membership benefit that we ramp you up as a member specifically to get ready, well, using Open BIM in terms of using also the proper processes and these kind of things. And we make it sure so that you really get that back as physical, tangible benefit as a service.
Yeah. And of course, it's all about people. It's all about how people understand this and can use it. Practical application. So training and possibly also certification.
Yeah.
Especially if you are a BIM coordinator, BIM manager, have a quite central BIM role, can I set up a project and run this project for a client or for a design team or for a contractor? Do I understand the principles? Do I know how to apply the different principles and also just use the templates and how to utilize them and create value with it? I think that that is something that is we need to look into. But I guess if we get it as we hope, that we have like a 3-year timeline. So and training and certification is something we probably will hopefully can start looking at in about a year's time. But maybe someone, maybe you, Cornelius, who's already working with PCert, will actually jumpstart that process. I don't know.
Yeah.
But that is something that we are very, very open to. The only reason why we are maybe are pushing it a bit is both because we actually want the feedback and maybe get to a version 2 that we feel is even more agreed on a wider range of chapters that we have maybe also some experience with actual projects and so on before we actually start to develop solutions behind them. We can also see that maybe it's something that we can do, develop between chapters, share the cost, is something like a project portal where our members can log in their project. And instead of having Word documents and Excel sheets, you can actually fill information into a database.
Yeah, yeah.
And we keep track on that for them. So we can help them if we see that things go slow. And also just to make sure that everybody has updated information. That is something that we need to assess, but it's something that hopefully should again try to lower the threshold for the practitioners, those who are actually working, the architect, engineers, the contractors, the clients, because they're busy doing so many other things that BIM should really not be an extra hassle. It should be a help. And how to organize it is in itself a quite a big job. And we want to make it as easy as possible.
Perfect. Really sounds like an opportunity that you're unlocking now, a variety of other options that I'm really looking forward to. So, and happy to help with all of these kind of things, wherever we as a chapter or I as a person can. Steen, thank you so much for all of the insights for today on, the European Open BIM Forum, but also Open BIM Harmony. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.